10. Max grabbed Elorian's arm as he started to leave. "You have nothing to apologize for where I'm concerned." He cracked a chiding grin. "That being said, you could have been a little kinder to my dragon swan." The tormented agony in Elorian's gaze was searing. "How can you not hate me? At the very least, blame me or curse me for what I've done to you." Max buried his hand in Elorian's long hair and locked gazes with him so that he could see the sincerity in his heart. "Would my life without you have been better? Really? Let's say that none of this had happened, that I remained a fully blooded Dracomas. Where would I be now? In a cave somewhere, alone, like you were, enduring in Avalon? You're right, Inly. You're a rank-effing bastard to spare me that god-awful fate. I should take you outside right now and beat the shit out of you for doing this to me." Elorian snorted. "I hate you." Smiling, he tightened his grip on his brother's hair before he released him. "I hate you, too." Then Elorian did the one thing he hadn't done since he was a small dragonette. He pulled Max into a tight hug and held him there. When he finally stepped back, he refused to look him in the eye, as if the action embarrassed him too much to acknowledge. "I'll check on the others. I'm sure the two of you could use a moment to yourselves to catch your breath and decide what to do about her tribe and the demons out to claim you." "Thanks." Elorian inclined his head to him, then left. Suddenly alone with Serafina, Max turned around, unsure of what to say. She'd blown back into his life like an unseen whirlwind and brought all manner of devastation and revelations in her wake. It was almost as swift and startling as Elorian's unexpected return after centuries of absence. Honestly, the two of them had left him reeling and feeling ungrounded and dizzy. While Elorian's return had required him to reorient his living arrangements, he'd been forced to learn how to share his attic space with another dragon. This changed everything. The fact that he was a father completely redefined who and what he was, as well as where his loyalties and responsibilities lay. He had a family now. His first priority was no longer protecting the Peltier members and the Sal Sangre Real. It was protecting his own progeny and ensuring they lived. Never before had Max regretted being marked as the Dragonbane. He hadn't even tried to defend himself during the trial. Now, his family needed him to not be hunted. For the first time ever, he regretted that long-ago day and the decision he'd made to throw away his life. What had seemed like a simple solution then now had lethal, unforeseen consequences. "How do I undo this?" He had no idea. Serafina approached Max slowly, unsure of his suddenly somber mood. What to say to ease him. There was a peculiar air about him that she couldn't quite make out, but one thing was obvious. "You're bleeding." She took his arm to lead him back toward his, well, she hesitated to call that straw spread out on the floor a bed. Anything else might insult him. "You need to clean your wounds before an infection sets in."
"They'll heal."
She wanted to argue, but he would know better than she. Still, "I would feel better if you allowed me to tend them." Finally, his gaze softened. Some of the rigidity left his limbs. She brushed her hand against the bloodstain on his shirt and scowled at it. "How are you able to hold human form and be wounded like this?"
He shrugged. "I'm a different beast. With the exception of Elorian and me, the others they caught to form the Werehunters were all Draconi.
Smaller in stature, they were more animal in nature than their larger Dracomai cousins. They also lacked the same magical and psionic abilities." "How did a god not know the difference?"
"I don't think he cared. Or maybe he did, and he was trying out the different Draco breeds to see which would merge better with Apalite DNA before he mixed our blood with Lakayan's son."
He sighed. "In the end, does it really matter?" Not really. Her heart aching for what they'd done to him and his brother, she pulled the shirt over his head to examine the wounds on his human body. Wounds she knew were probably deeper on his dragon form, yet hidden by his magic, as he often did his mark. He must have fought them ferociously for their children. But then that was what he did best, fight and bleed for what he protected.
How did you get away?
I fought. Biting back a smile at his verbal confirmation of her thoughts, she traced the ridges of his hard abdomen. His body had always been among the best of any male. Liberally sprinkled with dark golden hairs, that body had tempted and pleased her to the brink of madness. She'd once spent hours raking her fingernails over the peaks and valleys of his ripped chest and powerful legs. The Greek prince he'd been merged with must have been quite spectacular back in the day. No wonder Lycaon had been so determined to save his son's life. Maxis caught her hand in his.
Why do you touch me, when I know how disgusted you are by my breed?
Those heartfelt words choked her.
You never disgusted me, Maxis. You only scare me.
Scare you?
She nodded as she confessed the one secret she'd always kept from him. It was time to let him know the truth, to let him see her heart and real fears, why she'd pulled away from him when she should have embraced every part of her dragon lord.
I've fought enough dragons to know how powerful you really are, even though you try to hide it. The very air around you sizzles with the energy you pull. As I said, the fact you can hold your alternate body while in this amount of pain, no one else can do that.
That's no reason to fear me.
She let out a nervous, contradictory laugh. It's every reason to fear you. You are the Dragonbane. You drew first blood for no reason.
He pulled back, as if she'd slapped him. So that's it, then. You judge me without knowing. You've seen my heart, and still you're blind to it?
No. Now you're the one being unfair.
How do you figure?
If I didn't care, do you think I'd have carried your young while never knowing if they were human or dragon? Every day I was pregnant, I was terrified of what would come out of me.
He snorted dismissively. Because you feared you wouldn't be able to love a true-born dragonette.
Tears blurred her vision as she spoke her eternal shame out loud.
In part, you're right. I was afraid of that. But every time I thought of purging them from me, I couldn't. Because I remembered the way you held me, protected me, how you endured the mistreatment of my tribe in silence, so that you wouldn't hurt my feelings. And it made me determined to keep that part of you no matter what.
You saw?
She nodded.
And I hate myself for saying nothing.
In that moment, as she stared up into his hurt gaze, she saw the same painful memory haunting him that still haunted her. Seraphina had just ridden back from a particularly dangerous mission. Because they'd been on the brink of war with another Amazon tribe, Nala had stayed behind with a contingency of warriors to defend the village should it come under attack, and sent Seraphina out to lead their forces against the dragons they'd spotted. Exhausted and wounded after losing half her hunting party to the Katagaria, Seraphina had done nothing but dream of returning home and sleeping for a few hours. Of curling up to Maxis's warm body and having him hold her until she forgot the rancid smells of battle. Instead, Nala had issued an immediate summons for an audience on her return. Fresh from the kill, Seraphina had gone to her queen and bowed low, thinking the matter had to do with their hunt or the Amazons threatening to invade their lands. She couldn't have been more wrong. Nala had risen from her throne, something that was never a good sign.
We have had it,
with that thing you've dragged into our village and forced us to tolerate for years now so that you'd have a playmate.
Pardon?
Your rabbit mate. He attacked me.
Serafina's jaw had dropped.
Excuse me?
Nala pointed to the remains of a deep purple bruise on her arm.
Your animal attacked. Unprovoked. He is disobedient, disrespectful, dangerous. What if he'd attacked one of the children, or someone else's mate who couldn't protect himself?
Basalina, please. I'm sure...
No! No more of your excuses. He is an animal unleashed that you've left unattended to walk amongst us without any rules or boundaries. I cannot allow him to roam around unchecked, not after this. The time has come for you to choose, your sisters or your beast. I will not excuse this.
She gestured at her injured arm.
Am I being cast out?
No. You are to submit him for a harrowing. Only then will I allow him to stay in our village. But only so long as you keep him chained like the wild animal he is. If you disagree, I will have him executed.
Terrified, Serafina had gulped audibly. Maxis would never tolerate being kept chained down, and she couldn't blame him. Nala threw a collar at her.
Bring him to me within the hour for his punishment, or I'll send a tessera for his head.
Her hands shaking, she picked the collar up and slid it into her satchel. A part of her had wanted to beg desperately for Nala to change her mind. But she knew it would be useless. Nala was too angry. And she was queen. Her word was the law they all lived and died by. Unable to fight Nala's command, Serafina had headed to her tent, where she found Maxis waiting with his meager handful of clothes already packed. The instant he saw her face, he'd visibly winced.
I guess you heard?
That you bruised my Basilina? Of course. What were you thinking?
She would never forget the look on his face. He dared to appear as if she'd slapped him for no reason. And that only made her angrier.
I was going to move into my cave, but I didn't want to do so until your return. I thought it rude not to say goodbye and tell you where I was going. I know how upset you get when you don't know where I am. Now that you're back, I think it's for the best. No one else here knows where it is.
That's it, then? That's your solution? Aren't you at least going to apologize?
Total shock filled his eyes and expression.
For what?
Embarrassing me? Assaulting the leader of my tribe? Does any of this sound familiar?
Scowling, he glared at her.
I asked you to leave with me.
Is that your answer? I didn't abandon my duties and tribe for you at your command, so it's all right for you to assault them whenever I leave?
I didn't say that.
Furious, she'd watched as he picked his pack up and slung it over his back, then his sword and fur cape. A furious tick had worked in his jaw, as if he had some right to be angry after what he'd done to them both. They were lucky Nala wasn't calling for both their lives.
I'll be at the cave whenever you have your cravings for me.
As he started past her, she'd taken his arm to stop him.
Wait, Maxis.
He paused to look down at her with an expression of hopeful expectation that had quickly melted to sad resignation as he realized she wasn't going to stop him from leaving. Sighing, he leaned down to kiss her cheek. And as soon as he was about to kiss her, she'd clapped the collar around his neck and turned it on. His breathing had turned instantly ragged as he dropped everything he held and tried to pull it off. Since she'd never worn a collar, she hadn't known it would be painful. But as he staggered to his knees, panting and desperate to remove it, she realized that it wasn't just prohibiting his magic. It was actually hurting him.
What have you done to me?
His tone had been filled with utter agony. Nala has demanded a harrowing. It's time you learned your place. His eyes widening, He'd glared at her with such fury that she'd actually stepped back in fear.
"Don't do this, Sarah. I will not forgive it."
"It's too late for that. I have no choice."
Grabbing the collar, she tried to drag him to Nala's tent, then quickly learned how heavy his stubborn, inert weight was. With no choice, she left him in her tent to tell Nala she had him collared. And as she walked away, his curses for her rang in her ears.
"You do this, Sarah, and I will leave you forever. I promise you I won't take this lying down. You will regret what you've done. What you allow them to do to me."
In retrospect, she wasn't even sure why she'd done it. Nala had never been that good to her. She could blame the humiliation of being called in before her queen on her arrival, especially given the number of times she told Maxis to stay away from the others, had ordered him to stand down, her exhaustion on her return, a thousand things that were stupid and poor excuses. The only thing she could really say in her defense was that she'd had no idea how brutal they would be to him. Normally, a harrowing was a few lashes of the whip, no more than 10 for an ill-behaved mate, a few days in the pit, and a few more weeks of shunning. Then everything went back to normal. Since they already shunned Maxis, and he was stronger than most, she hadn't thought much about his being punished, other than it would appease Nala and prevent any more action from being taken against Maxis. Yet the instant she told Nala that he was collared and waiting, Nala had let half the village in to drag him out so that they could attack him as if he were solely responsible for every ill a Katagari had ever done an Arcadian. The feral glee in their eyes as they rained down an unimaginable wrath on his body still sent chills over her. When she'd started forward to protect him, Nala had grabbed her and shoved her back.
"You interfere in this, and you'll be harrowed next."
"Basilina,
I mean it. No one challenges my authority, and definitely not some piece of shit dog."
Serafina had stepped back, thinking it would be over quickly. But a few minutes later, when they showed no signs of stopping, when their jubilant cheers had continued for them to worsen it, and they had yet to do a formal punishment for him, she'd moved in to stop them regardless of Nala's threats. They'd turned on her then, an all-out brawl that had forced her to withdraw or risk losing her unborn children. By the time their anger was spent, and they'd finally dragged, then thrown him into the pit, the damage was done. Maxis had barely been able to breathe or move. His wings broken, he'd lain there, panting in pain like the animal they accused him of being.
"Maxis?"
He'd refused to look at her. Instead, he'd stared at the pit wall, slowly blinking. Heartbroken and sick, Serafina had wanted to soothe him, to take everything back.
"Maxis, please, look at me."
Finally, he'd pinned her with a cold, hate-filled stare. Time and silence hung between them, as she tried to think of something to say to him. But as she saw his condition, and the betrayed fury in those golden eyes, anger and rage she fully deserved, no thoughts would come to her mind. Instead, he'd spoken those quiet words that had haunted her ever since.
"I told you when we made it that I would gladly give you my heart, my life, and my love. But that when I did so, they came with one condition. Never abuse me. Love is not abuse. And you have harmed me for the last time, my lady. I am done with you. Forever."
Then he had closed his eyes and refused to look at her. Now he stood before her again, and she had a whole new chance to screw up everything
a new chance to rebuild, if he'd allow it. Wanting to start over, she reached up and fingered that short hair that reminded her how different he was from the feral dragon she'd been mated to so long ago.
"Will you tell me what happened between you and Nala?"
More sadness darkened his eyes.
"You don't care. What difference does it make?"
"Because instead of attacking you then, I should have asked for your side of the story, and I never did. I want to know now, please."
Max hesitated. He still wasn't sure this was a good idea, but really, what difference did it make? Nodding, he held his hand out.
"Let me show you."
She scowled.
"Show me how?"
His eyes took her to task for her hesitation.
"You still don't trust me."
"I didn't say that, just..."
"You don't trust me not to hurt you."
She could deny it all she wanted, but he saw the truth in her hazel gaze. With a heavy sigh, he headed back to his bedroom.
"Either join me or not. It's up to you. I really don't care one way or the other."
He'd written her and their relationship off centuries ago. Tired, aching, and honestly pissed off over all of it, he headed for his small pile of furs he sometimes used as a pillow. He'd have already turned into a dragon had it not been for the horror her eyes betrayed every time she saw his true body. But then he was used to people reacting badly to it. He was a dragon, after all. They only threw parties for his kind when the dragons were fake ones or had been slaughtered and they were celebrating their deaths. So he was stunned when she followed after him and lay down by his side.
"Show me."
He opened his arms in invitation. Serafina hesitated, unsure of what he would do to her. With no choice, she curled up and allowed him to hold her. Cupping her head, he rested his chin on her hair and cradled her against his body. She could hear his deep, fierce heartbeat under her ear.
"Close your eyes and let me guide you."
She obeyed and was stunned as images, no, memories, began to play through her mind. Only they weren't her memories. They were his. Max had gone to bathe and fetch fresh water in expectation of her arrival. For over a fortnight, he'd been forced to endure the excruciating misery of living among the Amazons without her. Because of his promise, he was locked in her village, where they wouldn't allow him the most modicum of hospitality. While she'd known some of it, she hadn't realized that he'd been banned from their meals, too, that whenever she returned home to find food waiting for her, it was something he'd hunted and prepared for her, because they wouldn't allow him to take her portions unless she was there, and she got it for them. He wasn't even allowed to draw water from their well, lest he contaminate it. Rather, he had to hike to the stream to gather his own and carry it back to their tent. As he returned to fill their stores, he found Nala in their tent, waiting.
"Where were you?"
Worried by her unexpected presence, he'd set his water down and frowned at her question.
"Has Sarah been hurt?"
It was a natural assumption, since that was the only time the queen came to visit someone's mate. Laughing, she'd circled him.
"No. I sent word to them. They won't be back for a few more days."
His stomach had shrunk at the prospect of going even longer without her.
"Oh. So tell me, dragon, what do you do here while she's gone?"
Shrugging nonchalantly, he refilled their water stores.
"I wait."
She arched a brow at that.
"And?"
Unsure of why she'd ask that, he'd set the jug aside. It was what his kind did. They weren't a creative bunch. Rather, they checked their perimeter, marked their territory, and guarded whatever fell under their protection. Hobbies served no purpose, except to distract them from their duties.
"And what? Don't you get bored, waiting?" "Not really."
She tisked at him. You know, I could help you with your doldrums.
How so?
Nala had stopped in front of him then, her eyes hungry. She'd reached out and traced a line down the center of his chest that headed straight for a part of his anatomy that wasn't meant for her. Max caught her hand just as she went south of his belly button.
I made it.
Instead of being daunted, she'd hooked her finger in the waistband of his breeches.
Do you know what I keep thinking about?
No idea, my Vasilina.
The night Seraphina brought you in for our inspection.
Heat had suffused his cheeks at the bitter reminder of a night he'd rather forget. To appease her queen and her sister tribeswomen, Sarah had presented him to them so that they could inspect him and be assured that he was tame enough to reside in their village. Completely naked, he'd been forced to endure their bold scrutiny and rude groping of his body as they made sure he was man enough to live among them. No part of him had been left unexamined or fondled. By the end of it, he'd been so furious and hurt that he would have left Sarah. But she'd apologized and promised him she wouldn't let them treat him like that again, that this was a one-time event, and that she would make it up to him. Even so, the humiliation and pain had stayed in his heart, especially since he knew they didn't do that to Arcadian males. The Arcadians were respected and allowed their dignity. Never him. The animal.
What of that night?
He'd asked her, stepping back out of her reach. She'd closed the distance between them and reached out to touch the feathers braided into his hair.
You're the most handsome male in our tribe. Did you know that?
No, Vasilina, I haven't paid much attention to the other men here.
She'd laughed at that.
You know, part of your job in this tribe is to please and serve me.
Those words had sent chills over him, especially when she reached for the laces on his breeches. Grabbing her hands, he'd stopped her.
Vasilina, please. I can't do anything. You know the laws of our people.
And what a waste they are. Still, you have other parts that are capable of pleasing me.
She led his hand to her breast.
Tell me that you haven't been as curious about other women as we are about you.
He tried to pull away, but she was relentless.
Do you know how many times I've seen the two of you rutting like animals? I know exactly how capable a lover you are with your mouth and hands.
Anger and embarrassment made a deadly mix in his heart.
You spied on us.
It was human curiosity, something an animal wouldn't understand.
The insult had stung him. He always hated whenever they said that to him.
Now, as your Vasilina, I command you to submit to me. Give me what I want.
He'd grabbed her more forcefully to keep her hands out of his breeches and off his body.
No.
No?
Her shocked tone would have been laughable had the situation not been so dire.
You dare deny me?
He glared at her.
I'm just a dumb animal, incapable of understanding the complexities of how your society works. In my world, the rules are simple. I have a mate, and I belong to her, and no one else.
And she would be the first to lead you naked to my bed and chain you there if I asked it of her. Are you too stupid to comprehend that?
Even more furious, he'd started to deny it. But deep down in his heart, he knew Nala was telling the truth. At every turn, Sarah had shown him that she would submit to her queen, no matter how ridiculous or mean the command, how humiliating. Still, he wasn't going to accept this, not without a fight.
Then get Sarah's permission. But without it, I won't do this. She is my dragon swan. My loyalty and heart go first to her.
Nala had backhanded him.
And hers go to me, you stupid bastard.
She reached for him again. This time, Max had grabbed her arm and forced her back toward the opening of the tent.
I will not fuck you, bitch. I don't care who you are. You are not my Sarah, and I don't want your human ass in my bed.
He'd shoved her away so forcefully that she'd stumbled and fallen through the opening outside the tent. Knowing if he stayed, he'd probably kill her, Max had immediately gathered his sword and a few supplies and left the village to head for his cave to wait for Sarah's return. This was the only place he ever felt as if he belonged, where no one mocked or belittled him. He'd turned to his dragon form as soon as he could and flew to the safety of his only haven. Sarah would be furious over this, he knew it. She never liked it whenever he angered her queen. There would be plenty of screaming to come later. But he wasn't a whore to be bartered, and while he'd do anything to please his mate, this was where he drew the line. He would deal with Sarah's fury, but he was through being treated like an inanimate object with no will of his own. Yes, his heart was that of an animal, loyal, fierce, protective. He didn't understand the duplicity and lies of her people. Most of all, he didn't understand the betrayal and sneakiness. Honestly, he wished Sarah could understand why he didn't want to stay home without her.
These are my sisters. We take care of each other.
Do I not care for you?
It's not the same, Maxis. You don't understand the bond of sisterhood we share. I have an oath to uphold.
And what of our bond? Your word to your mate?
The fates forced us together.
The same fates who put you with your sisters. Your ties to them are no stronger than your ties to me, so no, I don't understand your loyalty to them over that of your own mate. Why will you not come away with me?
I can't leave everything I know to be with you.
Why not? I left my world for you.
It's not the same.
Because I'm not human?
And there the argument always stopped, because it all came down to that one fact. He was an animal, unworthy of her human's heart. She dreamed of finding a man to love. Max would never be anything except a disappointment to her. No matter what he said or did, when she looked into his eyes, she didn't see a man there. She saw an untamed beast, one who embarrassed her. Heartbroken over the anger he knew she'd unleash on him when she returned, he'd lumbered into his cave, where he'd gathered all the items that fell under his aegis, and damned every one of them. With his tail, he whipped at them, hating what he was, hating the fact that his dragon's heart loved a human woman who was incapable of loving him. And that was why he stayed, in spite of the animosity and challenges, because deep inside, where he hated it most, was the hope that one day Sarah would look past his heart and see his soul that belonged to her. That she would learn not to despise him for something he couldn't help any more than she could help being born into a group of mean-spirited bitches. But hopes and dreams were for humans. And so it appeared was love. Serafina pulled away as she came back to her own body. For a full minute, she couldn't move or breathe as she listened to the steady beating of Maxis's heart. As she replayed his memories and felt a blinding rage consume her. This time, it wasn't at him. It was for the ones who truly deserved it.
"Why didn't you tell me?"
she whispered.
"You never listened."
He was right. Pushing herself up, she stared down into those wounded eyes and traced the line of his lips with the tip of her fingertips.
"I'm so sorry."
For the first time, she saw humanity through his eyes and understood exactly what Amy had meant. All her life, she'd focused on the clan of Katagoria that had attacked her village and killed her mother. She still didn't know why they'd done that. A killing animal rampage. That was all she'd ever been told.
It was what Katagoria did, all they knew. They were wild animals that killed indiscriminately and without conscience. They didn't care who or what they destroyed. They were incapable of understanding. But Maxis was right. He'd never shown that side to her.
Well, the rolling head a few minutes ago notwithstanding. Yet she could excuse that. She'd have done worse had she been there to save her children. For the first time, she looked at her mate and didn't search for the human inside him. She saw his animal heart for what it was. Beautiful. And realized that was what she'd fallen in love with. That it was the animal inside him that she treasured above all else. It was what made him Maxis. What made him different from other men. Frowning, he brushed his fingers against her cold cheeks.
Why are you crying?
Because I hurt you when I shouldn't have. I listened to others when I should have kept counsel with you alone, and most of all because I know I don't deserve the second chance I'm about to ask you for.
Max sucked his breath in sharply at her words. He could sense that she meant them. But she'd meant them before, and he'd lived to regret trusting her.
I don't know, Sarah. So much has happened between us.
It has. I know. I have no right to ask this of you.
She took his hand in hers and kissed his palm.
Can I share a memory with you?
He hesitated before he nodded.
Just think of it, and I'll see it.
She had so many memories she wanted to show him of their children. But there was one in particular he should see. It was when their twins had first entered puberty. They'd been terrified of their emotions and magic. Hayden, in particular, had been skittish. In retrospect, she realized that he must have suspected that he was changing over from human to Katagari. As such, he'd been even more resistant to his newfound powers than Idina. It also hadn't made it easier that Arcadians frowned on anyone who gave in to their animal nature and transformed. Her people considered it weak to shapeshift. While other Arcadian patrias had their own laws and customs, hers were expected to maintain their human forms no matter what. But her children weren't like the others, and she knew that. Most of all, she wanted them to feel closer to the father they'd never met. To help them come to terms with who and what they were, Seraphina had taken them to the cave that had belonged to Maxis. Her hopes had been to put them in touch with their noble father. Hayden had pulled up short as soon as they reached the entrance.
What's that scent?
Your father. This was his lair while he lived with me.
That had changed both their attitudes. They entered the cave and looked around as if seeking some kind of connection to the dragon swain they'd never met. Idina had scowled at her.
Why did you bring us here?
So that you could change into a dragon and not fear what you are.
Hayden's grimace made a mockery of his sisters.
Ragna says that we should never unleash the beast inside us. Once it's free, it's hard to suppress.
And they are born Arcadians. You two aren't. Your father was a fierce, proud dragon swain, and you should never be ashamed of that part of yourselves. Because you're mixed, I'm thinking you might have special abilities as a dragon that the others lack. You might even be able to hold that form longer. The very least, you should try it and see.
Idina had screwed her face up.
I don't know.
I'll do it.
Hayden had stepped deeper into the cave, making sure to put plenty of room between them. He flashed them a bright smile.
Watch this.
An instant later, he'd taken his dragon form. Fear had stolen Sarah's breath, but she quickly hid it from her son. He'd stumbled about, much the same way Max and Ilarion had when they'd first been transformed into humans.
He couldn't quite seem to get the hang of his huge dragon body.
Oh, this is so weird.
Then he'd slapped his tail into the wall.
Ow! Have to watch that.
He jerked it back and smacked himself in the head with the barbed end. Instantly, he'd returned to being human, so he could rub the unintended injury he'd done himself.
Oh, my God. Is that blood?
He'd held his hand out to his mother.
Look at that, I'm bleeding.
Trying not to laugh, Sarah ran to him, while Idina had mocked her brave brother.
Oh, my God. Only my idiot twin could knock himself out with his own tail. How stupid are you?
You do it, and see how hard that thing is to control. I swear it has a mind of its own.
No, sugar. That's your front tail.
Idina!
Seraphina had gasped.
I can't believe you said that to your brother. Where did you even hear that? Good grief, Matera. I'm almost 30 years old. I'm the last of my friends who hasn't had a lover yet. And if that's what concerns you, then you need to talk to your son about where he's been planting that shorter front tail lately.
Growling, Hayden had rushed at his sister, but Sarah had caught him.
Stop, both of you.
And just who have you been courting, young man?
Before he could answer, Idina spoke for him.
Wouldn't call it courting.
He'd gaped at her.
Hayden, look at me and answer my question. Why didn't you tell me?
He lifted his chin defiantly.
It's not a discussion a man wants to have with his mother.
And it's not his fault. They crawl all over him whenever you leave us.
Is this true?
He'd nodded bashfully.
They say that my father had incredible stamina because he was a dragon, and they want to know if I take after him.
Horrified, she'd stared at her son.
And you allow them to test you?
Unabashed, he'd grinned at her.
Every chance I get.
You are so grounded. Go on and stand over there and bleed.
What?
I mean it, Hayden. Go over there before I do you more harm. Pouting, he obeyed. She turned back to her daughter.
All right, Deanie.
Your turn. Idina moved back and shook her arms out to her sides. With a deep breath for courage, she changed forms and immediately smacked her head into the ceiling.
Ow!
Huh?
Hayden had teased in his deep, raspy voice.
Told you.
Hush, Hayden, or I'll step on you.
Like to see you try.
Seraphina growled at them. Why do they always have to fight all the time? It made no sense to her, and she wanted to choke them both. Kids, stop! Satisfied they were quelled for a minute, she walked to Idina.
How do you feel? Hayden was right. It's strange. Did you feel like this the first time you changed?
Sarah had smiled at the question.
Want to know a secret? Yeah. I've never shifted.
Both of them had gaped at her.
Never,
Hayden gasped.
Never.
My parents didn't believe in it for Arcadians, and since I've never been shocked, I've always been human. Idina had returned to being human.
Then why did you make us do this?
She'd brushed the hair back from her baby's beautiful eyes that reminded her so much of Maxis's.
Because your father was a beautiful, proud dragon. And I wanted you to share this part of him. No one should take that from you. Don't ever let them.
Frowning, Hayden had moved closer to them.
You loved our father?
I did. And I'm sorry I took him from you.
But never be afraid of using the gift he left you with. You are Dracomai. Hold your heads up in pride of that, and never let anyone make you feel inferior.
Max pulled back, out of her memory, to stare at her.
You really told them that?
She nodded. I meant what I said, Maxis.
Then prove it.
How?
Turn into a dragon.
The color faded from her face.
Pardon?
Max took a deep breath before he explained his ultimatum.
You say that you want a fresh start. Then open your heart and show me that you're willing to bend. I want you to face the beast inside you. As you made our children shift, I want you to shift. Just once. If you can embrace the dragon inside your own heart, then we might stand a chance.
And if I can't?
Then I know you're lying. If you can't stomach the dragon that lives in your body, how could you ever accept and love the one that is inside me?
Serafina knew he was right. But as she stared at him, she doubted she could do this. For too long, she denied that beast, had hidden it away. To bring it out now? What if she couldn't go back?
I mean this, Sarah. You gave me an impossible choice once. Now I give you one. Shift for me, or lose me forever.